Quickly the days that our number pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven has looked down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned of the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not the mercy and the kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily now trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Well, He warned of the danger that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God.
Life is easy
when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you never know. But the things change when you're down in the valley, down the face, child. You're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but how come so easy when life's at its best? It's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times.
The God of the day
is still God in the night.
You talk of faith when
you're up on the mountain,
but the thought comes easy
when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad time. The God of the day is
still God in the night.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good time, it's still God in the bad time.
The God of the day is
still God in the night. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river. Yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks around the doors. Oh, there must be another sunset, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knee. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God this test he must face. It is here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on a mountain, looking back, I can see. When I was in that Lowe's Valley, His strong hand was leading me. It's good to see the sunrise and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing, and the praise He gives to me. God has made this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to tap your feet. God has made His trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Now, we're standing on the mountain. It was not always like it is now. And, but now, you see, we're standing on the mountain, and we're looking back, and we can see when we're in that lowest valley. Like I keep saying, I was not a happy camper when they threw everything at me. And it says here, you were not the first one. We're not the first one that were down in that valley, that were terrorized, persecuted for the cause of Christ. It happened to John on the Isle of Patmos. It happened all, when you go to biblical history, you know, to what the forefathers went through and in the dark ages, there came a day when they were up at the meeting and the council, and they're sitting there in their kangaroo courts, and at the end of the day, they were told, we've decided here we're going to burn at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in Jesus' day, it's the same thing today, it's just a repeat, but it's got just a horse of a little bit of a different color, you know.
Right.
We're going through the very same thing, but see what... What society has done, they try to hide us and make us irrelevant, like, so that the people that know, they can't see that they're just repeating history, you know? But see, now you and I, we're standing up on the mountain and we can look back and see exactly when we go to biblical history. We're just going through exactly what they went through. Jeremiah, I just read Jeremiah, and you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Just like society was back in the days of Jeremiah, that's exactly what society is today, you know. But see, that's why we're honed out to do what we're doing here. And the Lord has called us to give us our job description, and all I ever wanted to do was find out what my place is in Christ. Well, it's not a very attractive message that you and I have, because, like I sometimes put myself into their shoes, of course they'll think we're crazy, and if I put myself in their shoes and I look at us from their viewpoint, all the lies that they tell about us, and they make us look like we're the problem, we're the culprit, my own grandchildren. They think I'm the problem, I'm the culprit, you know? And same with your family, same with my family. They think we're the lawbreakers. But see, sometimes you gotta stop and put yourself into their shoes, and then you can see how they're looking at us, you know. And of course they'll say we're crazy. But and it'll appear to them as if we are.
That's
because
right.
And the last days, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. And it's just a repeat.
Mm-hmm. And you go up against that whole religious apparatus, you know, and that's where you're going to bump with a lot of heads. You know, they think that their religious apparatus is the order of the day. And when you come up against it, then people think you are crazy.
That's exactly what they did to Jeremiah, like I said. I've just been reading Jeremiah, and there came a day when they decided to throw him down that well. That was the order of the day. And there came a day when that kangaroo court, that's what they did, that's what I call them, these religionists. They bring you up to their council, and they got this kangaroo court, and that's what they did back in the days of Jesus. They didn't have nothing on him, and then they decided they're going to crucify him, because he was kind of upsetting the replica. All he was doing, he was exposing that religious hierarchy for what it is. He was exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. He did exactly what the Bible says. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what he did. He had to expose it. And then when he started his ministry, he told his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there's absolutely no way that you can enter in. And little by little, he was taking the covers off, and so much that one day the scribes and the Pharisees, they realized he's coming close to their turf. He's going to upset their apple cart, and he's going to expose it to the people that these scribes and these Pharisees, that zealot, that they're the problem. So what did they do? They went to his parents, his family, and they told, you better rein that guy in, because he's he's crazy. He's got a devil. And you, so they went out, and you could go read the account over in Mark and different places where he was sent word, and your brothers, your mother and your brothers are out there, they want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. In other words, they want to rein you in because the counselor decided you're crazy and you got a devil. So they can't, well, he knew what they were after, so he didn't even give them the time of day. And see, we're going through the same thing. They got your family, my family, brainwashed that we're the problem and we're the devil and we're crazy. Even my own dad, when they came up to the council and he told that old Hutterai group, oh, he's got a mental problem, you know. And so much that they tried to get my wife to sign me a document to put me into the mental home. Because, mm-hmm. because I was upsetting the replicas, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so the day came when I was done with the Brennamite because I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go back to the call, back to my family. So I came back and asked permission to join up with them again. So anyway, so they decided they were going to put me on probation for 6 weeks. So anyway, so after the 6 weeks were up, they had this meeting, and because I had written a letter, what I believe, I'm just going through that just to kind of show you exactly what went on back then when they burned these people at the stake. The same thing is going on right now, right in front of your very face. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when I was up and their kangaroo course. There was a whole bunch of them there that, I think there was about 24, their top-notch officials, so to speak. But anyway, so they had this council, then they had this meeting, and I was called up to the council. And then at the end of the day, they decided they're going to put me into this Auschwitz rigmarole, where you got to get down on your knees and you got to confess before God and man that you actually did something wrong. Mm-hmm. The only thing I did, I exposed them. I told them how corrupt they are, and I told them about a prophet. God sent a prophet because I had wrote them a letter, and I got this letter on my website. What I told them, and there's nothing wrong with that letter. I just told them that God sent a prophet. I told them that baptism and the title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not of God, it's of the devil. And I told them that anybody that's baptized that way is making a pact with the devil and things like that. So they wanted me to recant that letter. I should go over it bit by bit, but I refused to recant it. And then, of course, see, this kangaroo court, you're going to do it their way, or you're going to get the days and the time of Jesus. You just got crucified. They put you to the crucifixion. And the days of Martin Luther, you put out of the Catholic Church. And the days of John Huss, you were burned at the stake. But in today's hour, and today's torture chamber is what you would call it, that they put you into this Auschwitz rigmarole. Now, you have to confess before God and man that you did something wrong. Well, in this instance, I didn't do nothing wrong. All I did was expose it. So anyway, at the end of the day, when everything was overdone, they had their meeting and everything. And then, so they called me in, and they told me what they have decided to do now with me. They're going to throw the books at me, so to speak. They just decided we're going to take you to the crucifixion. We decided we're going to burn you at the stake in the Dark Age language. Mm-hmm. But in today's language, they decided that whole council, that whole kangaroo court council, they decided that they will put into this Auschwitz rigmarole. Mm-hmm. Well, I just told them flat out, right? I can't accept that. I didn't do nothing wrong. So, but anyway, at the end of the day, what happened was, so finally they had their council and they decided that's what they'll do. So I got up and I say, okay, I'll accept what you, I'll, okay. Oh, they decided I have to leave. And if you don't accept our council, you got till sundown to get out of here. And if you're not out of here by sundown, the sheriff will come and pick you up. In other words, we're going to hire the Roman army to take you to the crucifixion. That's it. And we're going to hire the Catholic Church to burn you at the stake. But in today's language, if you're not out of here by sundown, then the sheriff will come and pick you up. So I'm just, like I'm saying this for a reason, because I got to put things in today's perspective, how it's looked at how this thing is going and the day and hour that we're now living in. And anyway, so I got up. Okay, I'll respect your counsel. But before I do, I also want to ask you something. Jake Feller. I called him Jake Feller. You call him with respect. So I stood up and I says, you're the leader here, right? Yep. You're what the Bible would call the religious leader. Yep. I says, who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are you going to go with that? I'll tell you exactly where I'm going to go with that. You got nothing on me. All I did was tell you the truth. And then you're doing exactly what they did back in the days of Jesus. They didn't have nothing on Jesus, but they hired the Roman army to crucify him. That's exactly what you said you're going to do with me. You're going to get the sheriff in here, and the sheriff is the Roman army in today's language, and you're going to have me terminated. I'll get out of here, but before I do, I'll go home, and I'll get in my closet, and I'll tell the Lord how you guys operate here with your kangaroo courts. And before I did that, I told him I got a wife at home and 5 children. And you decided here amongst yourself that you're going to make my wife a widow and my children orphans. That's what you decided here when you terminated me, just for telling you the truth. Yeah, I'll get out of here. But like I said, before I do, I'm going to tell the Lord about how you guys operate. And they all heard me. They were all there. Then finally I got up and I walked out and I went, got my car and I left that place. It's going on exactly what happened back then. And we were going through their torture chambers and through their burn at the stake or crucified. But like in today's language, it's his Auschwitz rigmarole, which that Auschwitz is strictly pure satanic. And anyway,
that's what they used to control people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But I didn't bend, I didn't bow, and I didn't bow. And I was not a happy camper back in that day. See, remember, you got a young family at home. You're just when they need a dad. And then I went through that whole rigmarole. And then when I wouldn't go along with them that way, then about 2 years later, I came back and I asked permission to spend time with my family. I was trapping for 5 days out of the week, and I asked permission to spend time with my children. They even had a sergeant down to try to negotiate some kind of a deal, but at the end of the day, you're out of here. And I wasn't able to spend time with my family as they were growing up. But see, that's all in the past. But see, now we're standing on the mountain, and we've made it through somehow, and now God's going to deal with them, and that's what he did. That Mike from Summerfeld, he got some kind of a disease in his foot, and he got lung cancer, and he got all kinds of cancers, and then he died. And that Blumengard Jake, the head honcho of that thing back in the day, he just had a stroke and he died. Yeah. They're gone. I told him, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say vengeance is mine. The Lord said vengeance is mine. He's going to deal with you guys exactly the way he sees fit. And now I'll get out of your hair. And I see, like I say, now we're standing on the mountain. Looking back, I can see how his strong hand was leading me through that thing. And then I read scriptures that... Like, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you and persecute you and terrorize you, because they also did that to the prophets back in the day. Mm-hmm. And we're just going through what that song here said. I've been in that mountain, and now I'm standing on the mountain, and I'm looking back, and I can see that I'm going exactly through that, what the people before us did, you know, the Christians,
right.
The believers before us went through the same thing.
And when you speak to them, you really, when they talk, it's really that religious spirit that's speaking. Like you were, one day your brother John called you up, he wants to meet up for coffee. So you went down to McDonald's for coffee, and you were trying to talk to these people about Christianity, and... your brother John, he goes,
you're trying to tell them something, and you said that the reason why you can understand me is because you're a Hutterite, and really because you're talking with religion. You're talking with a religious spirit. And then he goes, so what are you then? You tell them, you know what I am? I'm a rational thinking human being. And he goes, yeah, runaway, that's what you are. See, that's what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with people that aren't born again, that are in a religious environment, and that's all they see. You can go through the scripture and you can find it in many places in the Bible. You can find it with the false prophets in the days of Elijah. You can find it with the false prophets there in the days of Micaiah. And then you can, in the New Testament, look at all the effort that Paul tried to put in and trying to get the Jews to see the grace that was given to them. Because it was first given to the Jewish people, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation and redemption, and they rejected it. And he was trying so hard to get them to see what Jesus did for us, and they could not see it. That circumcision was always between them. The law was always between them, and he just could not get through them. Until he went to the Gentiles, and that's where he had that's where he was called to do, actually, be a minister, apostle to the Gentiles. But when you look at the wall he faced with religion, the absolute dead end he had with the Jewish people when it came to the law and circumcision, and they just could not see it. And that's you can go through the Reformation with Huss and Wycliffe, how they exposed Roman Catholicism, and they were killed because of what they were standing, what they saw and stood for. They saw something. God showed them something, what that religion was all about, and he exposed it. And that religious regime does not like being exposed. The devil does not like to be exposed. And that's why he gets rid of, and he classifies you as a renegade and a rebel and a heretic, a witch, and they burn them at the stake. And that's what they use in order for an excuse to say you're crazy. You can come to Martin Luther when he stood up against the Catholic Church and wrote out his thesis and hung it on the church door, and he said, all these points I find wrong with Roman Catholicism. And he had 95 points against them. And he went up against that religious apparatus. And that the devil was shaking there because he was being exposed. And there was a lot of turmoil that age faced because of what God was restoring. And when you come to the hour of John Wesley, the Lutherans did not accept John Wesley and his message, because it's that religious apparatus that cannot perceive truth. So a lot of people, they claim they have truth, your truth. But there is no such a thing as your truth. It's the biblical truth that you need to follow. Mm-hmm. God restored a truth, a just shall live by faith. God restored a sanctified life, a holy living with John Wesley. And that's a religious spirit cannot handle that. And they persecute the people that bring out the truth that God reveals. And the same way with our hour in the last 100 years, when God had the Pentecostal movement and he had Brother Branham, and those religious denominations, they could not handle the truth. And the same way with Brother Branham Jackson, the people just could not handle the truth. And that's always been what's being persecuted, is the truth, is what God is doing in our day and hour. So when you expose it, then the devil has to come up with something in order to make it appear like you're the bad guy, in order to protect his turf,
Mm-hmm. Like they did back in the days of Jesus. They did not, the scribes and the Pharisees, they absolutely did not want the public, the people to know that this is that Messiah. This is that, this is that man that's bringing the good news. And what they did, what they, when Jesus told, healed somebody, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Not that the priest can do anything for you. Just go to the, show yourself to the priest. Prove to the priest that you just got healed by this, the one that they're trying to paint as black, you know. And go yourself to the priest. And it's the same thing today. They're trying to make you and I look irrelevant. But see, the thing of it is, when I had the cancer and you prayed for me, that cancer had no other option because it had to come to the Bible. It's true to form. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Mm-hmm. You come here, you got cancer, you're going to leave without cancer. And see, they don't want people to find that out, so they keep them in the dark about everything. Mm-hmm. But going back to that episode that I had with my brother John, he had two or three of his drinking buddies. He always had a way of finding these good timers, his drinking buddies from West Truck or somewhere. Anyway, we met down at McDonald's, and you know me, I'm trying my level best every chance I get to show people about Christianity, about how God works, and about the born again experience, and I'm trying to talk to them about this new birth and this stuff that I find. And I'm not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I get frustrated. And I finally I said, oh, the reason you guys don't hear me because you're Hutterites. Mm-hmm. You're just Hutterites. And my brother, well, what are you then? I tell you what I am. I'm a rational, thinking human being. I think for myself. I'm not allowing myself to be brainwashed by that religious thing. Yeah, runaway. See, that's how that's the unpardonable sin when you leave that colony. Mm-hmm. You classify as you're a runaway, no matter what you do or say, no matter about the Lord's business, you're still a runaway, and that's the unpardonable sin and that compound.
Mm-hmm. It's very, in a way, it's a little comical.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it from a humorous point of view, but when you look at it at a more serious point of view, it is a very sad picture that religion can so blind you that you're actually speaking about traditions and religion, and that's their whole life and their whole world, and they cannot see beyond that world, that there is a bigger world out there. There's God. He is vast. He fills all time and space, and that's who God is, and they're confining themselves into a little bubble of religion, of their own making, of their own ideology, and that's who you're speaking to, is that religious spirit. You can't even speak to them as a human being, one-on-one. You have to deal with that spirit that's on them, that religious spirit, and that's all they know, and that's all they can present to you.
That's all. We're just exposing it. We don't hate the people. We're just exposing how stupid and blind they really are, and the light of scriptures. When I got terminated, I had some friends, like a neighbor there that I used to got to know, and went to visit them, and they're church-going people, the Platts, you know, these Mennonites, and I spent a lot of time with them, you know. I went to their church after I got terminated, and did a lot of fellowshipping with them. So anyway, that one of them, he asked my brother John, so what did Sam do that was so horrible that you would take his wife and children away from him? He went and bought a car. Well, what's so bad about buying a car? How is he supposed to go to work? And he couldn't answer him. You're going to take his wife and children away simply because he went and bought a car? Mm-hmm. It was so stupid. When we talk about these things, the people think they don't believe in God. How can anybody be that stupid, you know? They would terrorize him simply because he doesn't follow their traditions. It's like with Jesus. He didn't. The disciples and the Pharisees asked Jesus, how come your disciples do not follow the tradition of the elders? But anyway, that's all we're doing. Like, mm-hmm. we ain't nobody. We're just exposing it because that God has given us a mandate to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, to expose that spirit. See, behind every religion, there's that spirit mm-hmm. of Satan. And we just got to do it. And all we're doing, we're exposing it because Satan, he works behind in the shadow. Mm-hmm. He works behind he doesn't like to be found out. Well, yeah. I found him out, and I kept him, and I started talking about it. And, of course, at the end of the day, like I said, you're going to be taken to the butcher shop. You're going to be taken to the crucifixion. You're going to be burned at the stake. But in today's language, if you're in that Hutterite environment, you're going to be excommunicated. That's the only thing they can do. They can't kill you. They can't burn you at the stake. But they can do, at the end of the day, they can only terminate you. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. They don't care what they call it. Anyway, I was up there, and I told him where to now, God's going to deal with you. Now, okay, what happened now? I'm going to show you how wicked these people can be. So now, they have no excuse because I got up, okay, you got nothing on me. All I did was tell you the truth. But see, now you got to let the Lord deal with that because mm-hmm. it says, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But see, what the Lord's going to do in the next year or 2 years, he's going to work that episode. That episode will forever be in their memory. They'll forever think about that meeting that I had with them. Then I got up and with the utmost of respect, and I told them exactly what they're doing. You got nothing on me. You're doing exactly what they did to Jesus back in the day, and you're doing the same thing that did to Jesus. And like I say, then you step back and you let the Lord deal with them. Throughout the night, the Lord deals with that episode. So instead of repenting, you know, any rational human being would repent. And once he sees his mistakes, you know, mm-hmm. That's what the grace of God is all about. But see, instead of repenting and owning up and that's what they do, then they justify themselves. And here, what that low life over here from Sommerfeld, that preacher, that Mike, but he went and he told everybody in earshot what Sam did. He set it up so that we would terminate him because he didn't want his family anymore. Mm-hmm. And I spent time and time again begging and pleading. Talked to even that sergeant came down from Nipah to see if I can have a 2 day out of the week to spend time with my family. Mm-hmm. And then that low life. He goes and tells everybody, oh, Sam didn't want his family anymore. So what he did, he set it up so that we terminated. See, and then my children, they believe that lie. And see, that's what they do. Instead of repenting, instead of owning up, what did they do? They lie up things and instead of repenting, they use that to justify themselves. And I'm not mad at him. I'm just, in fact, you went there a few weeks before he died. And I think I even sent you there. Go see if he wants you to pray for him because he's in bad shape there. And I think he even went on to see if he wanted to ask you to pray for him. And see, we did our part. We're doing our part. Even with my dad, you know, and my father-in-law, they did a lot of bad things for me. They took my family away. And I'd get up every morning. And I went to the Lord. Lord, is there anything you want me to say? Is there anything you want me to pray? Or what? How should I? What do you? Do you have anything for them? And day after day, for years, I would go to the Lord and see if there's anything that we can do. And finally, the Lord came on the scene with my father-in-law. He said, "Sam, I can't do nothing for him. He had already cancer by now." And I was asking the Lord, "Lord, is there anything you can do for the man?" Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, "No, I can't do nothing for him. If I heal him, what he'll do, he'll go back and he'll continue to terrorize Christians like he's always done." And then concerning my dad, I was down in Linden, Washington, and the Lord told me 6 o'clock in the morning, he wakes me up and he tells me to go over to Vancouver Island. And I didn't know what the Lord wanted when he sent me to Vancouver Island. Because at that time I was kind of looking for a job and, so I went over to Vancouver Island, and that's not a word of a lie. As soon as my car was off that ferry, and the Lord came down and spoke right into my spirit, pray for your dad, then I will give him a repenting heart. Mm-hmm. That I will give him the grace to repent of all the atrocities that he said he was part of that regime that terminated me, took my family away from me. But see, then I was able to pray. And then when before my dad died, I went to see him, or before he got Alzheimer's, and when I came in to visit him, he was still normal, still didn't have that Alzheimer's disease yet. And first thing he said when I came in the door, there's only one thing left for me to say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See, what the Lord was doing, he was now working on him to give him a repenting heart. And then, before he died, before he got Alzheimer's, he let me know that all I can say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He never had the courage to come and say that to me, but apparently he set it up with the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He took that opportunity to repent of all the atrocities supporting that religious system. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm trying to say,
yeah.
Because it's not of God, it's of the devil. Mm-hmm. But see, God gave him the grace to repent, but my father-in-law, he did, because he let me know, Sam, if I heal him, he will go back to do the same thing he's always
mm-hmm.
done, terrorizing Christians. Mm-hmm. And that's just the heart of how you and I, we look at things, you know. Even when you wrote the book about your family there, before your dad passed away, the Lord kind of gave us a window to go visit him now. Before that, we couldn't go visit him. And then he was in the hospital there, and we went and visited him, and we had a good visit, because somehow, some way, I could tell. And the first thing I said to him, you must have done something right to appease the Lord, because about 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave us the go-ahead that we can come and visit you. Because if you wouldn't have done that something, whatever it was, then we would not be here. And and he knew exactly what I was talking about.
And that religious spirit is so strong that when you're in that environment, it has an effect on you. No matter how you try to be and be free from that religion, it still has an influence on because of the environment you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know when I was on the colony, like the Lord had saved me, and still, you know, their religions and their traditions still, when you're in that environment, they have an effect on you. And it wasn't until I left that those tentacles,
mm-hmm.
like religion has a lot of tentacles. You won't believe how many they have. It's an apparatus. And if you know what an apparatus is, it has a lot of little entities that he hides behind of the devil in religion. And it wasn't until I left that I felt those tentacles have to lose their grip on me
mm-hmm.
because I was no longer in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like I said, if you're in a certain environment, it will wear you down. It will have an effect on you no matter who you are. You're still a human being and are, you know, of... the natural thing has an effect on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know with Luella, when we went out for coffee one time and we had a conversation, and I said to her, I don't care who you are, if you are in a certain environment, you become part of that environment. It's like even a natural habitation with animal, the animal kingdom, and there's always a natural habitation there. And you become part of that environment, that and that natural habitation. That's the same way when you are part of a group that believes certain things that are false. You are part of that environment, and has an effect on people and their health.
Amen to that. See, we're now standing on the mount. And for me to adjust, because I've been persecuted all my life.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 years, I've been kicked from pillar to post, falsely accused, all that. And now we're standing on the mount, and it takes some adjusting for you and I. We got it so good now, and we, all that, all that, All that we can do is just continue to praise the Lord. And we got the highlights of our life is to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend time in prayer and then sing some songs. And that's the only commission that we have now that we're standing on the mountain. And it's pretty hard for me to adjust to that because we got it so good. Because, like I say, I'm used to being kicked from pillar to post. I've adjusted to that. And now we got it so good, man, a living. You can't even stop counting the blessings, but it wasn't always like that. Back in the day, I tell you, I was not a happy camper, but we're going and repeating ourselves time and time again to just to kind of let people know where we are in time, and now we're just out here telling them the good news. There's hope for everybody. All you gotta do, now that the grace age is over, you're in the week of Daniel, and there's a little window here where that invitation is going out, to the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you don't have to go through this hell that's just up the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. It's just up the road here, just within, who knows, within months, within weeks. I don't know when, because I don't know the day and the hour of that rapture. But I know one thing, we're living in that season. Once that Pope gets those two prophets killed, those two witnesses in Israel, that Smotrich and that Ben Gavir, once he gets them killed and they go up to heaven after 3.5 days, then you know the rapture is on after that. Before that happens, there will be no rapture. That rapture, that involves all these people that have accepted the invitation to the marriage supper for them. We give people hope because we got the good news, you know. That's all we're doing. We're telling people the good news, and we enjoy doing it. But first, we got to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. It's our commission to tell people to know where we are in time. We're living exactly since October the 15th, 2021. We're living in the week of Daniel, and then you can do the rest. You can count 7 years from then. Then that big angel will come down, and so Satan into hell, and then there's the day of the Lord, and then there's 45 days for the separation of the sheep and the goat, and then the millennium is on. It's everything so mapped out, so crystal clear, so perfect. That's why we keep going back and repeating things so that people can realize the hour that we're now living in. And that's exactly 100% true. It's the good news of the gospel. But see what you're saying, that it's a message for your day that you have to believe. It's always been the message for your day. That's why the apostles, they went through so much trying to convince the people back in their hour. It's the message of their day. When Irenaeus was here, throughout the church ages, it has always been the message for your day. Back in the days of Martin Luther, it was the just shall live by faith. And the days of Brother Branham, if you believe that Brother Branham was that prophet, that Malachi 4 prophet, you were believing the message for your day. And then it moved on. It kept on. God always moves. And then he moves to Brother Branham. And it wasn't until I came under the umbrella of the ministry of Brother Jackson. That's when I knew this is what I've been looking for. This has been now my search all my life. This is what I found, and this is what I was looking for. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I know one day I'll find it, and once I find it, I will recognize it. And it was at that time, it was the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then when he goes off the scene, like we keep saying, we're all being tested, and then guess what comes out? Who is then that wise and faithful servant whom his Lord had found wise and faithful to deliver me the due season? That's exactly the chapter we're in. And whatever we say here, that's the meat and due season for your day and for your hour. If you can accept it, you're gonna definitely be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's the message for your day. We have hope for people. We give people hope. We don't just throw something out there and there's no hope. There's hope when you can get a message that'll bring you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know what it all consists of, but I know one thing. It's going to be a good thing to be away from this hell that's coming, from the great tribulation, because once that rapture happens, there's only one thing left, according to the scripture. Blessed is he that died, and the Lord from henceforth. And there again, I don't know how this is going to come about, but I know the Word of God has the final say. So then you'll be blessed if you can come to that place where you can have to give your life. You're going to have to go to the Gullaton, and then you end up on that sea of glass. And see, you and I, we got the program so crystal clear because we have a reverence and a respect for the Word of God. That's the only thing that keeps us going. It's that Word, because God has put this Word above His very name. When He made that blueprint, He raised up His arm. He said, I'm going to see to it that that counts that I had back in Ephesians when it's going to happen exactly the way I made that blueprint. That's all we're doing. We're just following the blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just had a conversation, Lord, about the things that You've allowed us to witness in our journey as You brought us through this religious apparatus and all these traditions that You've allowed us to witness and see in our day and hour. And You brought us to the righteousness for our day. So we just want to let people know what You've done and what it's all about, life, Lord. That it's not about religion. It's about getting to know You, Lord. And You provided that way through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And people can all have that blessing too, Lord, if they can only believe, Lord, and have faith, Lord, in what You're doing in Your day and in this day and hour, Lord. We just want to give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.